Kenny. Est-ce qu'il fallait?
This is Booker T, the five-time WCW champion, and you're listening to SNS Radio Network.
Yo, monkeys, it's me, TPP, the king of Bada Bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion. And you, well, you monkey, you're listening on the SNS Network. Stay tuned or you will feel bang!
Big Daddy Cool, Diesel, / Kevin Nash. You're listening on the SNS Radio Network.
Hey, this is Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle from TNA, and you're listening on the SNS Radio Network. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
This is Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels, Mr. Hall of Fame, 2011, and you are listening on SNS Radio Network. See ya, and I wouldn't want to be here.
Hey, you listen on the SNS Network, and that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
The world is listening.
Welcome to the Whole Andy Show. Your dedicated home for all things Andy in the world of professional wrestling and sports entertainment.
When I say, I mean what I mean, I say, and they become anthems.
I told you, if you let me out of my cage, I'm gonna pile the bodies to the sky.
They just gave me a live mic on pay-per-view. So, if you all don't mind, I'd like to get a few things off my chest.
My name is Kevin Steen. And fuck Ring of Honor!
Fuck you, you're wrong. Fuck you, we're right. Because you have all made it to the dance. Because believe me, this is the dance.
With your hosts, Ashley is my name.
You ripped out my heart! You took everything I believed in, and you flushed it down the damn toilet. You flushed my heart. You flushed my soul. And now it sickens me to sit back and see other people making the same mistake.
And the Sun City Savior, Randy McWilliams.
There are so many amendments in the Constitution of the United States of America. But I plead fifth. 1, 2, 3, 4. Fifth.
And welcome to another episode of The Whole Indie Show. TWIS. That show that features the British guy and the guy from Texas. Whatever you want to call it. It's here. And yes, Ashley. Yeah, it's... it's pretty much still my name. I was thinking of changing it to Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, just to really piss off Sean. Yeah. Hey, Sean. Cheap plug for Open Book. Wow. We're already doing the Colt Cabana thing already. Brilliant. Anyway, bring on my co-assistant. Moniker to be, like, or something.
The motherfucking Rappy. Boss. Nah, this is joking. Okay.
That sounds like something that Def Jam would have put on a Scarface track.
I can see the top guy. I don't know. Just whatever it is for the time being, y'all know who I am. I am Randy. I am to a supercalifragilistic espialidocious. I'm the chimney sweep who's supposed to sound British but has a Dick Van Dyke sounding voice, even though that's not my real voice at all. But it goes along with the Mary Poppins reference.
Yeah, Mary Poppins? sounds like some Dutch porno star. Hello, I have come to clean the chimney.
Yes, yes.
Trying to walk briskly away from that, we'll jump straight into the news. And really, what we need to talk about is, because we have been away for a few weeks trying to sort out when we're getting this, because we are recording this on Wednesdays, just to let you know. So we're kind of trying to keep it so we can get it out there for you just before or during the weekend, depending how bad we screw up with our screw up. So that means our editor Brass Eye has to edit them out. But there's been quite a few big stories that have happened and really departures. One of which is one that I am unhappy for, but also really pleased, is Sarah Del Rey, who it seems is leaving the indies and is signed up with WWE and, rumor has it as well, Randy, possibly training up some of the Divas.
I have heard about this. Well, we've been off the air for a while, so of course I've heard about this. Why would I have heard about this? We're the goddamn whole indie show now. Of course we're supposed to know about the people leaving the indies. Anyway, Sarah Del Rey, it's something that's been talked about a lot by people that have followed the indies, especially women's wrestling nowadays, and how there's been almost a bit of a resurgence maybe, or maybe not so much in the WWE, but especially with another release we'll be talking about soon. But even with this edition, this should probably really help add to women's wrestling, which is, going back onto the resurgence, it's really like branched out into something different, especially if you've seen Chikara, who's always had intergender matches, but it's really become more of a big deal now with King of Trios. Half the teams are, a couple of the teams are all girls. There's girls in, you have PWG that really hasn't done it as much. Beyond Wrestling has their tournament for Tomorrow 2 coming up in November, I believe. I had to check for sure. That's going to include guys and women in the tournament. Hell, even independent women in general are starting to come up with. We have the very lovely Paige down in FCW. We have AJ Lee, who came from the independents, who's now the general manager on Raw.
Plus, she's also apparently being used as a trainer to train up some of the divas that are coming through the developmental.
Sarah Del Rey getting signed by the WWE is huge news for the divas and for women's wrestling in total, which I felt is almost had a bit of a resurgence in a way in the past couple of years. Maybe not so much for the WWE, especially with the release of another superstar, but with the addition of Sarah Del Rey, there are also rumors, or I believe Mercedes Martinez had a tryout match with the WWE at one point. So WWE still really looking into the indies. Sarah Del Rey, hell, if they're offering her a training position, wet dream there to have Sarah Del Rey, who's looked at as arguably the best women's wrestler in the United States, almost maybe in the world, especially if you saw her match with Michael Satomura recent Chikara event, and even maybe best wrestler in the world. Oh, I would say best wrestler in the world, but one of the best wrestlers in the world, male or female, with her efforts against the guys. And she just recently had a Chikara title shot against Eddie Kingston, which she failed in because, well, you know where she's going to. So there's still a lot on her table. She still has the ROH pay-per-view coming up, Boiling Point. She has Haley Hatred, who's an American here, but wrestles a lot in Japan and has become the top Joshi there, in the top Gaijin Joshi in Japan, even winning the believe it was the JWP Openweight title. Exactly, which was the first time any female foreigner had won the title. So a lot of big things for Cerda Ray coming up in her farewell tour, and of course bigger things when she heads down to World Wrestling Entertainment.
Yeah, and she will probably be able to help Paige, which leads me into something I might have mentioned on Open Book, but I'll give more of a greater mention here. There was a documentary that was aired over here on the British TV called The Wrestlers Fighting With My Family. And it was looking at the Knight family. Bunch of... Yeah. Well, they have their small Knight promotions, I think it is. Or Knight Pro Wrestling or something like that. That operates in the north... north of UK. I can't remember what city it is off the top of my head, because it was about 3 or 4 weeks ago that it aired. But it had the dad, the mum, the son, and the daughter. The daughter is Paige. And it's just interesting to see how she's gone from her arguable indie stuff to her FCW, because I was giving her like a Elizabeth Salander, girl with a dragon tattoo kind of role.
Yeah, the vibe I get with Paige, at least what they've done, or at least her in FCW, or not, I should say FCW, not NXT, well, FCW and NXT, is that I could see kind of the Elizabeth Salander kind of deal with her, where she's very... where there's kind of an unstableness to her, even though she's very pretty and normal. Well, depending on your looks for Rudy Mara or Nubi Rapace, for whichever variation of the girl with the dragon tattoo movies you want to see. But her and she was, and the funny thing with Paige or Brittany Knight was she was starting to really get a name in the indies right when she got signed up. There was talk of her back in pro wrestling. I believe Pro Wrestling Evo is what it's called, with her and Jiddy Sodine, her wrestling the Europeans there, her coming into Shimmer with her mom, who's now the Shimmer champion, and all that. Her brother, Zebra Kid, I've heard some things about him. He wrestled at an ROH show before. He's had some trouble with the law. I've heard also the dad's a wrestler, like the whole family's a wrestler.
Well, he certainly had a few matches with WWE as well. Apparently, when they had the Live in the UK event in Liverpool, was it this March? Or was it it was last year, wasn't it, Liverpool? When they had the show up in Liverpool, they actually had him job to Big Show in a 3-on-1 handicap match.
Mm.
Which is pretty cool. And the key thing was that documentary, they didn't like him due to his build. Apparently, they like the roid monkey looking people still. And Paige was very proud to exclaim that she's the only diva that hasn't had a boob job. I wonder how long that could last if she wants to get further in WWE. Maybe.
Yeah. Hopefully not, because she is she's very pretty herself, as you. Yeah. As you mentioned, I think I forget, there's some, the broad from Norwich or whatever, or the dime from Norwich, or there's something you refer to her as.
The crazy chick from Norwich, yeah.
Or that, yeah.
That's what matters. It's you see, 2012 in women's wrestling is all about the crazy chicks, apparently. Unless you're Sarah Del Rey, in which, don't call her crazy, or she will beat the hell out of you. But another thing that happened while we were off air is, well, we actually talked about it in the news with the last show, Pac making his bows to the crowd, and within a week, it was revealed, Pac has also joined WWE as the developmental.
Yeah, Pac is a wrestler that many of the listeners here at SNS might be familiar with. I know Sandro is very familiar with him, and Pac could be a great addition to the WWE. Very great high flyer. I'd say one of the best in the world at high flying. the aerial moves he could just do is amazing, and just his ability at it too. And I'd rarely see him botch a move, and he does some very high risk stuff. The one of his main staples being his British Airways finisher, which is a corkscrew shooting star press. Sometimes there's a 630. He's been known to also use an inverted 450 splash. And what many other maneuvers.
What makes me think none of these are going to feature in WWE?
I could see maybe British Airways, possibly, even though that's a very heightened shooting star, which already had trouble getting approved as is when Evan Bourne. So, well,
certainly 450s and 630s are not going to happen.
Probably not.
They're the most unlikely, I'd have thought.
Especially if I'm not mistaken, that's how Gabriel fucked up his shoulder, because he tried to do the AJ Styles springboard 450 at WrestleMania, and he landed very awkward.
Yeah.
Something to go look back at now.
Yeah, watch the replay. Get the DVD. It's out. It's out everywhere. It certainly came out in the UK this week, so you have no excuse. Get it.
It's online. It has to be online. They showed it online, so look for it.
Because that I don't. Oh no, it is on the DVD, but it is on the. It'll be on the live
show.
The archive pre-show on YouTube. It will be there as well. I get the DVD and then still go, why did they only give 18 seconds for Sheamus and Bray? Anyway.
Especially after this week's the street fight?
Oh, yeah. The street fight was... Damn. That's all I'm saying. That was... I think we'll probably talk about that probably coming up in our next segment, but... Let's go to some of the more recent news, and let's talk about more people leaving, because... My word, it's all gone down this week. We've had two more women leave in various directions, or from various companies, should I say. Karma has gone from WWE, and Velvet has gone from TNA. Which, I'm not entirely sure is the right move by the companies. It's probably the right move for the wrestlers, but company-wise, I think you could have done stuff with Karma, but I've heard reports that they don't think that she's... It's the old creative has nothing for you at the moment, and with Velvet, I think it's misguided because they've never used Velvet properly, because she's... always kind of been the secondary fiddle. Yeah, that's probably a... Yeah.
Second fiddle.
Yeah, Trey, secondary fiddle. Don't put any thoughts into your head, Trey. Please. But...
He'll try to fiddle something else.
Yeah. Randy said it. If you want to beat him up, you know where he is. But, yeah, I just... Well, the fact that she only had the belt, if we're talking realistically, because of TV tapings, about 2 days before she dropped it to Gail Kim, for somebody that's been with the company for 5 years, is it, I think, Randy?
Yeah, she came when they were bringing in, it's when they started up the Diva Division, I don't want to say Diva Division, but that's almost a generic term
to
say.
They're all becoming each other, yeah.
Yeah, the Knockouts
Division. Becoming Knockouts because they're barely being used, and the Knockouts becoming Divas because they're actually wrestling.
Well, most of the Knockouts are ex-Divas or had some affiliation with WWE. Velvet Sky being a somewhat exception because she did have her picture up on the WWE.com site when she tried out for the Diva search.
Yeah.
But yeah. With the releases, Velvet, I agree, she was a second fiddle more often than not. It was nice to see her get her moment in the sun with Bound for Glory, considering that during the whole Beautiful People stint, she was really kind of the second fiddle over either Angelina or, surprisingly, Madison usurping power when she did. And while Velvet was probably better for the role she was in, Not that it was a bad role as is, even though it was mostly shaking that. I don't even know why I stopped there. I know I don't. I don't even know what it's like. It's like they put a V chip in me, like in the South Park movie. About to say shaking that ass and then shake the like almost get a little shocked there for cursing, even though that's a mild curse, but nonetheless.
Just as long as you didn't go Terrence and Phillip.
Shut your fucking face, Uncle.
Okay, I think we've worked out a future song of the night.
Oh.
Or something, I don't know.
Or Blame Canada, can we? Well, that might piss
No. We can't blame Canada. They're ahead of Britain in the middle table.
Or at least the owner with more stroke. Just 2% more, but...
yeah, just...
But I still like Canadians, regardless of the joke there.
Okay. Get back to the... Go back to the wrestling. What's your take on Karma, yeah?
Well, yeah, we went over Velvet. Same there. Karma... It sucks because they never did anything with her, even although circumstances prevented that, although with the baby and then the miscarriage. And then they had nothing for her after that, even though most people, it's almost plain to see that you can pretty much put her anywhere and practically start a division around her. Hell, TNA did that, and I was not aware of Awesome Kong or Amazing Kong at the time until TNA, and then... We saw what she can do there, and then she beat the ever-loving shit out of Bubba for the right of Haiti and Arcade Fire. For anybody that gets that joke, I thank you.
Paperclip.
Yeah. So, Karma being gone, she'll probably be back. ROH will probably pick her up. Dragging, I can see Gabe wanting to pick her up for something. Shimmer will definitely want to use her. Maybe WWE will bring her back in. It's not always you get released and that's it. You're not getting back into the WWE. As look at Tensai, even though his run has been less than stellar and some comments he recently made.
We'll get to that.
Broken that down further. But yeah. Karma Gunn, it sucks because that she really could have added a lot to the Diva division, and the Bellas quitting probably didn't help either, because I'd imagine the writers did have that in mind of bringing back some revenge. Hell, they brought up Karma's name, so it's not like they're as fucktarded as we like to think they are, but we'll see what happens in the end of the day. Look at Daniel Bryan, that's all I have to say with that.
Indeed. A couple of other related stories to basically people leaving companies. Rumor has it Jericho is going to be leaving within the next couple of weeks before SummerSlam, which means we may not get what arguably would probably want to be one of the matches of SummerSlam's history, Jericho versus Ziggler, possibly for the briefcase.
That match, it reminds me of some reason of... And I don't know why I bring this match up, even though I've really seen it once. The Shawn Michaels, Kurt Hennig match back at 93, where a lot of people are, it's almost kind of a passing of the torch in a way.
Yeah.
Not so much that Perfect necessarily passed his torch to Michaels, or just the torch of being Mr. Perfect, which even some people compare Dolph Ziggler to, but just that, just the proverbial torch in terms of here's your way to the top. This is your moment. Which a lot of people are saying that that's going to happen for Ziggler. And it's funny looking at it with Ziggler, because if you remember, for anybody that cares to look for it on YouTube, about when they first started doing the FCW TV shows, and John Cena, and they'd always have Batista showed up, and Sheamus tried to talk shit to Batista, they'd have a superstar come in and then say a word or two, and then usually beat up one of the FCW guys that was smarting off to him. And one time they had Chris Jericho come in and he praised Dolph Ziggler, who at the time was Nick Nemeth still. But I think he was just barely coming up as Dolph Ziggler before he failed the wellness test. And it's weird how it's all coming kind of full circle, especially if you've ever seen that clip before.
Mm-hmm. Certainly. Now, another one as well. Another surprise. Well, arguably a surprising leave or resignation, if I find the right word.
That's the best John word for it.
Yeah, John Laurinaitis. Quitting his role as senior VP of talent operations. Because he's worked behind the scenes, and apparently after 8 years of service, he's burned out and now hopes to concentrate on what he knows best. Putting together matches and working as a producer rather than being VP of talent operations, which I guess opens the path for X-Pac to come in to help out Triple H.
From what I've heard, it is Triple H. It's pretty much been Triple H kind of running it, and then...
Yeah.
I don't think, nah, X-Pac
Well, X-Pac certainly FCW aspect.
For as much chances as he has of getting in, considering Triple H has this amount of power, as I'm putting up my fingers at a height nobody can see other than me, you have shot. It's like he has a shot at getting in. Hell, look at Road Dogg, somebody who, weirdly enough, before we interviewed him, was trying to get into the WWE. And you can look that up on the archives at SNS Radio Network with my somewhat brief stint on Running the Ropes. Still a good show to check out without me on it. Of course, check this show out as well. Mm-hmm. But he's working there. Of course, if you've seen Are You Serious, you know Road Dogg's there. Billy Gunn, they've said there's reports that he might get a match or two on TV. So X-Pac seeming to always screw something up with it almost. I don't know why, it's just almost, I don't want to say X-Pac's nature, but it just tends to happen like that, especially with TNA, who's he's no-showed on multiple occasions.
Yeah. And the final one, which actually is one that hasn't resolved in somebody leaving, but rumors were that the champion of Dragon Gate USA, Johnny Gargano, was going to... His contract was expiring at the end of last week, and that Dragon Gate was in talks with him, and that they're saying that they weren't sure what would happen because he was set to fight Akira Tozawa at a show in Michigan. I believe they
had the match already. Gargano.
Yeah, they've already had the match. At the time it was they were having negotiations before that, and they were basically saying if he loses the title, that could mean that he's moving on. But Randy,
Gargano is still champion. They had recent shows this past weekend where Gargano still remained champ, and he brought up the fact that there have been rumors, which have been going on for actually quite a while, if you remember from about last year when there was talk about WWE being interested in Dragon Gate talent, or Dragon Gate USA talent, I should say. Well, then again, we could say Dragon Gate too, because Pac was both, that's one person there, Brody Lee being another one. Sammy Callahan is one who's been rumored to be leaving, but I think he's still in the indies. And Johnny Gargano decided to stay with Dragon Gate, so he has signed a contract to stay with them and is still the Open the Freedom Gate champion.
Yeah. Now, before we go into a couple of big indie stories from Randy, I think it's time to talk about fuck-ups. Which happens on this show quite a lot, but you don't hear much of that thanks to it being edited out, thank God. But let's talk about the two that have happened in the past few days, namely Tensai and Abraham Washington. We'll start off with the one that happened first. We'll start off with Monday Night Raw and the Abraham Washington comment, which... I'm surprised that, there's no word that Abraham's actually got reprimanded for it, but I've seen reports for SmackDown, and apparently he still has the live mic. Which, what was the comment he made again?
It was, this would be a perfect time to play the clip, but the comment, I believe, and I'm trying to say this as verbatim as I can, that Titus O'Neil's like Kobe O'Brien, Kobe O'Brien. Titus O'Neil is like Kobe Bryant in a Colorado hotel room. He's unstoppable.
Now, for those people that aren't aware, shall we paperclip it?
Yeah. If you listen to WNL, which of course you probably did because that's the flagship show of the network, you heard it there. And
but, paperclip it for the people that aren't fully into it, because I believe it was a court case.
Well, it did go to court. I believe in I want to say 2002 that this. It was either 2002 or 2003 that this occurred.
03, yeah.
Okay, it occurred in 03. There we go. Kobe Bryant was accused of sexual assault. I can't even say it.
Talking of fuck ups.
Yeah, at the worst time ever. I'm trying to talk about sexual assault, and I can't even say it until right now.
He said it
anyway.
Then.
I know. Kobe Bryant was accused of sexual assault on a white. Well, race doesn't really matter, but in a. Oh, well, on a white female hotel attendant there. I think she was I forgot what she was. She was a maid, and there was a lot of talk over that. He had cheated on his wife. There was the whole when he bought her $1 million-plus ring for her as forgiveness. He was apologizing to her in a press conference, like she was standing by him. Well, she isn't standing by him now, as we know, since they've since divorced, and very nasty situation that was settled out of court. And Kobe pretty much admitted that he did cheat on her, but the rape allegation might have been a bit overblown, especially some of the reports that I could get into, but it's a bit salacious even for – well, it's not too salacious for us, but it's kind of going off into the whole story. If you want to learn about the case, look it up more, but that's pretty much the gist of it. He had that and AW making light of that, which although was a very funny joke – is a joke that you really kind of can't say in the landscape that there are many people blaming it on PG. But even if it is a PG, just in general, that's a comment that people will – that's a comment that the news sites, news shows, the talking head bullshit, all that will latch on to as negativity, which is something WWE needs less of considering most news stories that are talked about on the news.
I'm just wondering if that one – I'm just wondering if that $1 million ring was an MVP ring. You never know, but
let's get to the divorce.
Yeah. Let's get to the other racist moment of the week. And this time we go to the East, or somebody who's had some history in the East. Giant Bernard, a.k.a. Lord Tensai, a.k.a. Lord Fatass.
Lord Fatass. But he's not Lord Tensai anymore, so is he just Fatass then?
No, I think he still deserves to be Lord Fatass, because Fatass just sounds like, I don't know, Fatass just sounds like somebody that you'd see on The Biggest Loser or something like that.
Actually, it's a good thing you bring that up. It's a good thing you brought up The Biggest Loser one, just as a little side note. Guess who was on one of the past couple seasons? I found out. I was like, what? There, do you ever remember a girl named Desire that used to be in the early TNA pay-per-views? Anybody who watched early years, 2002 to 2004, will remember her. She was on The Biggest Loser.
Wow.
Yeah, and I saw what she looked like. I was like, holy shit. She lost it. Like, no offense that she did.
Well, no.
But she was very pretty. She was fine back in the day.
She didn't really lose it, did she? She kind of gained it. And then the eights try and lose it.
Yeah, true. Touché.
The Tensai comment was basically him saying that he was going to SmackDown because he does feature in the SmackDown for this week. And saying you should never have a Japanese guy driving with you. And then he turns to Sakamoto and basically says, look, keep your eyes open. Don't make them all slanty eyed so it looks like you're asleep. Within about an hour of that tout happening, it got pulled. But thanks to the power of YouTube, it's over and everywhere. And I'm pretty sure people have made memes of it somewhere.
I saw it.
Yeah.
But there was a comment I saw on a YouTube page, or it might have been a Facebook comment, that was very interesting that they brought up in a way that's kind of, I wouldn't say nepotism, but it brings up a contradiction. It brings up an interesting contradiction. Remember when Jerry Lawler made the joke that it was Sakamoto should be called Sumting Wong?
I'm getting flashbacks to WNL and the Japanese volleyball player Takeshita or Takeshita. That's just,
or Kim, you suck.
Yeah, Kurt Angle's favorite. Can't remember what that was.
Did you see the Olympic trials video that Kurt Angle did for Funny or Die?
Oh, the Funny or Die video. Yes,
it's hilarious.
Catch that on certainly on wrestling-online.com, the new source of WNL, because that was funny, especially with the end. I'm going for the women's trials now. And he got disqualified because they clearly knew it was a man in drag. However, he qualified due to the fact that everybody else was injured.
That he beat up afterwards. And yes, there was an angle slam through a table, making it all the more glorious.
And power slams as well.
Yeah. Always love it when they have the wrestler on there and they get to do their finisher for whatever show it is.
RVD like, didn't do it. Well, yeah, RVD even did finishes as well, didn't he?
He did on Well, he was
he
on
did
City
Terminator, I think, didn't he?
Oh, somebody did one. I don't know. I think RVD came out for it, but I do remember that spot. There's a Van Terminator spot.
But yeah, that's
not Van Terminator. Van Daminator. Van Terminator is the coast to coast.
Yeah. So. Go try and catch all those things out. Go to TMZ for the Abraham Washington. Go to Audio Wrestling for the Funny or Die. And go to YouTube for the Lord Tensai, because apparently he's been heavily reprimanded. I mean, I don't know how much you can de-push him, because I think he's already been de-pushed to the hilt.
Yeah, considering he was supposed to... the rumor was he was supposed to get Big Show. What Big Show ended up getting.
Yeah.
In terms of the feud with Cena.
Giant Bernard is screwing up.
Yeah. And everybody wanted to see him go to the E, too. That was the funny thing.
Yeah, like, everybody wanted to see him go. And it's like he left his talent in Japan. No disrespect, but it's like he's come back and he can't do anything. Which is a shame, because I remember him back in the day when he did quite a bit. I mean, hell, he's part of Undertaker's streak.
Yeah.
Technically. But anyway, we'll jump to the arguably the two major, well, two pretty big indie stories. One I'd say is probably the biggest indie story of the week, and then another one which is a very interesting little video, I think. Do you want to talk about the video first, Randy?
Yeah, we should talk about that and the Team Ambition story that happened.
Yeah. But the video, I think it was, what company was it again?
It's for Magnum Pro Wrestling.
There you go. And it was Ryan Kidd.
Taking on Tony Cozina, who is the trainer of Davey Richards. I believe he trained Kyle O'Reilly also, and he's a running partner with Davey Richards and Team Ambition, which consists of Davey Richards, Tony Cozina, and Kyle O'Reilly. And over the weekend, they had a very interesting weekend, to say the least. One incident involved in, I believe it was Wyoming. Need to look up for it again, but they had an incident where they pretty much held up. Was it in Iowa? The show was in Iowa where the video is talking about. We'll start with the video first. Where Tony Cozina ended up shooting on this 16-year-old rookie named Ryan Kidd. And I was showing Ashley this earlier before the show, and it's just very disheartening. It's the match is kind of to begin with, but it's very. But what makes it worse, it's very disheartening to see like Kozina just beat the shit out of this kid for almost no apparent reason.
Well, the reason that's given is because he declared that he was the fake. What was it? The fakest fake wrestler in the business,
or something like that. And it goes with the whole. If you've seen like how like Team Ambition, especially like Davey Richards kind of style, as it kind of goes with that kind of MMA bullshitter, as Kevin Steen so eloquently put it, Jiu-Jitsu jack off.
But the you know the pile drivers, I think was it three or four that he took?
It was two of them. It started when you do see the video, which was one I posted on the SNS Facebook page that I'll make available again after the show. Or, well, it'll probably be before the show gets on our before the show is put on archive, but after the recording, where Tony back in was it Milo Iowa, but in Iowa this happened, and there was that. It started off. Yeah, lost my train of thought there for a second. Where it really kind of started to pick up in the match was where about I think eight, nine minutes so in the video where Tony Kozina starts to chop Brian Kidd, and you can. The chop's already hard to begin with, and then you just see, like, Ryan Kidd, you see him, like, trying to get away, but not necessarily kind of in character, just trying to, like, get out of it, and he just pushes him back in really hard, and then the chop, and then he Irish whips him so hard that it literally breaks off the second buckle, and then he pile drives him to shit. Like, it looked like he was going to break his fucking neck, how he drove him into it.
And then the match finishes with a legitimate choke out.
Yeah, he literally
Hell's Gate style.
Yeah. Which, as you would say, would make Undertaker proud to make light of this, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And then the other story was they were scheduled to work a show for Adrenaline Pro Wrestling out in Milo, Iowa. According, and this is coming from the wrestling blog, because this is really the only place we have. If we had them on Headlocks, we'd say that, which it should be on there, damn it. But nonetheless, it's there. According to the accusers, the three showed up to the venue 2 hours late. Richards allegedly threatened the promoter, who was claimed to be half Richard's size, took anywhere between $300 and $350, claimed to walk out of the arena to get wrist tape, and never returned. Now, that's pretty much the story. That these are two separate stories all in this same weekend. All in the same weekend that happened. And then Davey Richards and Tony Kozina kind of reacted to that in a very condescending way. I forgot what was it that he said exactly. Leave us on his Facebook.
Okay.
That they actually put this. And then there's been talk of like hashtag Team Bandit. Talk about Team Ambition.
That's probably why I was talking about the Twitter aspect, the hashtag. Which...
Apparently there have been other reports are saying one of the bigger things to come out of this possibly is that I believe it was Cage Side Seats or Bleacher Report. Or actually, he was in Cage Side Seats, but now he's in Bleacher Report. A guy had an account on this, and he said that they tried to call ROH back on this story, and then apparently Davey Richards no longer works for Ring of Honor, which is pretty big news considering that's one of their main stars there.
Yeah, but we talked about it on previous shows that Davey was kind of wanting a way out of wrestling. He wanted to go into MMA.
Yeah, that.
Well, he's got his way out.
Yeah. Seems like he's actually out of ROH, which I hope doesn't hurt Kyle O'Reilly, who, even with the actions of Tony Kozina at the Magna Pro show and Davey, Kyle O'Reilly has been very professional about it. Talk about how he admitted that they did steal the money, but only because he felt the way the promoter was telling them, because they claim they were set for singles matches originally, and then they wanted to do an 8-man tag. And then depending on who you coming from, the promoter was either kind of just kind of shit talking them about or whatever. So they pretty much kind of held him up for money. Davey, who's pretty short, only about 5'8", but he's pretty stocky, about 205, 210. They said the promoter weighed like about 140 pounds, so that promoter ain't going to fight his way out of it. So they gave him his money, and then Kyle O'Reilly has offered to give the promoter his money back that they took from him and then proceeded to run off with, which they admitted that, yeah, what that they came to the show. They came to the show late. That was the big thing, too. They came 2 hours late, then they got the money, and then, like, we're going to go get wish tape, and then got the fuck out. So it's just a weird story that shows that the darker side of wrestling in terms of just the whole respect kind of thing and just money issues, which TH from the wrestling blog kind of put it best on there too. It's like, if you ever go into the wrestling business, you're either going to have to be an asshole or learn how to deal with him. And that's what happens sometimes.
Yeah. Very true.
Which it sucks because, like, even
when disheartens me because it makes you lose.
No, but it makes you lose faith in what the indies are about when you get guys that clearly have the reputations that they believe they have. Because Dave is a good wrestler, but I just wonder whether
he believes his own. He's the low key for this generation now. Yeah. If we want to, for the reports that have happened on low key in the past, sadly, even though low key seems more to be in wrestling, Davey, from what it seems like, he's not totally into it. Or like the big interview in question where he talked about how he doesn't, he pretty much flat out like kind of said he doesn't like the American style of wrestling, that he'd rather prefer like the strong style of Japan, which would probably behoove or benefit him to go stay full time in New Japan, but he might have fucked that up with the car accident. So
certainly uncertain times. So
yeah.
With that, I think any other news stories, Randy?
Indie wise, there was only really a couple others that we can touch on. And remember, you're talking about the No More Raw Super Show, which is getting as much time as we're giving it now, because that's pretty much it. No More Raw Super Show.
Yeah, does anybody really care that it's got a different name?
Well, we can talk about the Ring of Honor Tag Title Tournament and some of the new names announced in there.
Oh, yes, the tournament, which has been ongoing. Well, it hasn't been ongoing, but the names have been unveiled gradually over the last few weeks. Briscoes, I know, are in there, and obviously, All Night Express aren't.
That goes into saying the All Night Express aren't exact. Well, at least the half that we know won't be in it is not in it. As the last team announced as of now, I believe there's one more team being announced, which most likely is going to be World's Greatest Tag Team, Rhett Titus and a mystery partner, which will I think it's going to be revealed at their upcoming show in Baltimore in 2 days, or August 3rd. Or whenever that is, because I know we're bad with. We already talked about our
August. It's Friday. The show that's happening this Friday will reveal it. So
it is.
Keep an eye out on spoilers for that, because I'm intrigued to see who they're going to have to run with him, because it could either be a long term partnership thing or just a one off special, which could be pretty sweet.
That's what I'm wondering, because Rhett Titus has a feud kind of going on with Kevin Steen right now at the moment. Hell, we can see. I'm surprised they haven't been announced. There could be Steen and Jacobs, or Jacobs and Carino. I'm leaning towards kind of World's Greatest Tag Team, but we'll see. But the other teams, as you mentioned, the Briscoes, the Young Bucks, the debuting Blackout with Ruckus, who used to be in ROH, and Black G's, who's better known as Rashad Cameron to most of you. Or some of you know him as Black G's.
Yeah, if you've heard the last show, you'll know.
Yeah. The Guardians of Truth, Headbangers, Caprice Coleman and Cedric Alexander and the Bravados, and Rhett Titus and his mystery partner comprise the tag team tournament for now. Who do you think is going to win the tournament?
It depends really who the mystery partner is.
Yeah, I think it does.
If it's something, obviously, because of the Kevin Steen thing, you could really have something happen there and make it into a good feud.
I could see, for some reason, maybe TJ Perkins coming in, since he should be coming back in now that the Young Bucks are coming in, because they were both off on, they both weren't wrestling ROH for the summer due to the fact that they are in, that they live in Cali. And the fly-in prices. We've gone over the West Coast ordeal. I'd say the Briscoes would seem kind of... I don't think they'll put it back on the Briscoes, even though I wouldn't mind that. The Young Bucks would be interesting, considering they're also the Chikara Tag Champs. I could see... most likely, it's good. I could see Rhett Titus and the Mystery Partner. But out the other ones... I'd say the Young Bucks has maybe the best shot, with my dark horse maybe being, maybe they do something with Blackout, but I highly doubt they're going to give the debuting team like that. My dark horse is going to be, you know what, my dark horse will be the Bravados, because they've really improved since their tour in NOAH.
Yeah, certainly.
And then the 2012 Battle of Los Angeles, which... this card is very, very, very stacked. Hell, the front row for both nights already sold out.
Oh, wow. Battle of Los Angeles is...
The annual singles tournament they have for PWG, who's also known for their DDT4 tournament, which is the tag team tournament. And a very awesome show from... this year with the Super Smash Brothers winning. But your first round matches in the 2012 Battle of Los Angeles are Adam Cole in his first Battle of Los Angeles taking on the reigning champion of Battle of Los Angeles and his eighth one, meaning he's been in all of them, I believe, El Generico. A rematch from the only five-star match this year, Michael Elgin taking on Davey Richards. Richards fifth, Davey Richards also former 2006 Battle of Los Angeles winner. Ricochet in his second Battle of Los Angeles, he actually debuted there last year. He debuted at Battle of Los Angeles because All-Star Weekend was afterwards. He's taking on, in his first one, Kyle O'Reilly. Sami Callihan in his first one taking on Willie Mack in his second, who made a bit of a wave in last year's by pitting Chris Hero and Kevin Steen in the tournament. Only succumbing to the event. Oh, no, he did lose to Kevin Steen. He beat Chris Hero, succumbing to the eventual winner, El Generico. TJ Perkins is his second one, taking on Joey Ryan in his sixth Battle of Los Angeles, and also a former winner in 2010.
Very hashtag 87%ers.
Yeah, hashtag 87%ers. Very controversial when he did win 2010, as the fans were really not into him winning it and felt that Claudio Castagnoli, now Antonio Cesaro, should have won that Battle of Los Angeles. That's who I think most of them were probably going with, because they probably would have been happy if Hero won either. Also, B-Boy, and surprisingly, his first Battle of Los Angeles, taking on Brian Cage in his second. Brian Cage really gaining some ground in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. A guy who I've also mentioned in the past, WWE had an eye on. He has the build that they like, but he can also high fly a little bit too. And the last match, in Roderick Strong in his seventh Battle of Los Angeles, taking on Drake Younger in his first. Drake Younger making a lot of waves in CZW, and who I'd put along with Jeff Hardy as contenders for Comeback Wrestler of the Year. Not that Drake Younger really had a bad 2011, but he's really stepped it up this year, like, immensely. Drake Younger later on in the review section for the show.
Yeah, certainly. And just looking through some of the other cards, by the looks of it, this time next week, we're definitely going to be talking about Boiling Point, which has an interesting little card.
Yeah, so, point card looks good too.
And probably as well, I think, well, Shikara's already had their show, haven't they? So
the Young Lions, ACH moving on to the semifinals, which makes me happy.
which we'll talk about more about that next week. But yeah,
what do you think about the tournament matches other than the Elgin Richards one, which you visibly were in awe for that one. Which match are you looking forward to?
The one that also intrigues me is Edwards versus O'Reilly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one could be good as well.
Usually PWG matches tend to, their matches that people have tend to be better PWG sometimes than in ROH. That's not always the case, as we will see when Elgin Richards does come out, but sometimes it's, I don't know, they just tend to bring it a little more for PWG, it seems, at some point, and the crowd is always on fire for in Reseda, so great atmosphere for to have a good match in.
Because there's a lot of matches there that certainly have potential. Strong, Younger certainly stands out, on at least in paper to me. Then you've got Perkins and Ryan could be good, and Cole Generico as well.
Cole Generico, I'd say I'm really looking forward to that. Cole's really having a breakout year, or he's been breaking out since last year. El Generico, you can't go wrong with Generico.
It's an interesting way, though, to start out September. I'll tell you that. September, arguably pretty big month, because September's also Chikara's King of Trios.
Oh, hell yes, King of Trios.
I'm just seeing if there's any other... Oh, Gran Akuma.
Yeah, 3.0 and Akuma are the newest team announced, which they had matches over the week, in which I believe they were successful in both due to the director of fun. I can't believe his name escapes me right now. God damn it, what's his name? The director of fun, Wink Vavasor, there we go. Wink Vavasor has a weird mathematics system where he's combining wrestlers up, or putting them in a way for trios, which came up with the weird combination of, I think it's Assailant and Deviant, or two of the members of the Swarm against Soldier Ant, Soldier Ant teaming up in King of Trios, which that team won't work out, as proven over the weekend with Soldier Ant walking out on him during a six-man tag. And then 3.0 and Akuma being one, which was funny because 3.0 already had kind of a trio partner in El Generico as the team 3.0 lay, and apparently Akuma's worked out for him, as I mentioned from last week, and so that they've now been added as a team. So King of Trio should be good as usual, and we'll probably be able to review that real early because they tend to ship those out day of, or like the Monday of, it should be out maybe.
Yeah, so it'll be around. So certainly we'll talk about that. We're gonna take a quick break, I think so. We'll be back with the second segment, where we're going to kind of do a little progress report, because we're pretty much a full 6-7 months into the year, so we can give our thoughts on, it's like a school progress report on the companies. So WWE and TNA are going to be mentioned, but quite a few of the major indie shows, major indie promotions, should I say, will be covered. So we'll catch you after this break. See you in a few.
Hanging with friends like we used to do. I didn't know anything was wrong. And last night, well, I was thinking it through. Trying to find who am I and what you need me to do. There's a record you used to play. There's Joni singing. Best to be without you. And I know just what she said. Help me, I'm falling. Where did all the love go? Where's the love gone?
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to show you how being a Wrestling News Live family member and diehard listener can change your everyday look on life. Example, here's the brand new commercial from Subway.
Hi, Samantha. Hi, Todd. Do you want to be my boyfriend?
Sure.
Great. Give me your melt.
My melt?
Yeah, I'm your girlfriend now.
I don't think this is working out.
Now let's replay that commercial and show you what Todd would have said to her had he been a member of the Wrestling News Live family.
Hi, Samantha. Hi, Todd. Do you want to be my boyfriend?
Sure.
Great. Give me your melt.
My melt?
Yeah, I'm your girlfriend now.
Shit, bitch. The hell you think you are? Give me my sandwich back. Bitch, please. Better be willing to give me some of that pussy before you get some of my sandwich.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is just another example of how becoming a member of the Wrestling News Live family helps you live a better life.
Standing ovation here. Let's go to our ring announcer.
The following podcast is scheduled to take you back in time. Host, ring announcer Sean Beckerman brings you pro wrestling nostalgia, featuring classic moments and old school themes. So buckle up and go beyond the bell each and every week on the SNS Radio Network. It's go time!
Hey guys, it's Mr. Money on the Mic, JJ, all caps Sexay of the SNS Radio Network. If you're looking for the latest news in professional wrestling and, of course, some of the best columns on the World Wide Web today, visit headlocks2headlines.com. That's headlocks, the number two, headlines.com. It's the official news site of the SNS Radio Network. You should make it your official news site as well. Once again, www.headlocks2headlines.com.
What is up, my SNS peeps? I am the Sensational Sequel, Sensational Sean.
And Ashley, too. Yes, it's still my name. I haven't changed it yet.
If you don't know who we are, I mean, we have this really cool show on the SNS Radio Network. It's called The Open Book. We cover wrestling, any, like, big news that happens in the week, but we more so cover the pay-per-views. We talk about how they went and how we think they should have gone. We cover a little thing called fantasy booking. We also cover all the biggest gaming news, games that have come out, and game reviews.
Plus, we've got the latest from the world of film entertainment. Also, perhaps an off-so-regular performance by me in the reviews of movies, too.
This is The Open Book. Catch us every week right here at the SNS Radio Network.
I know when I'm not, I'll be hoping I don't drop to a place where I will rise like before.
Welcome back to the Whole Indie Show. Randy, myself, Ashley here once again for the middle segment, which this week is going to be a progress report. In the manner of schools and stuff, we're not grading them, but we're just giving our thoughts on possibly things that we think should have been done better, best, worst matches, just general kind of ideas. Nothing specific, because we'll probably get to that towards the end of the year when we'll have some kind of award that's going to have a really stupid name that isn't called a slammy.
Slappy sounds
too much like a porno award.
Or it could be the squirrel from Animaniacs.
Although we might be able to do best wrestler in porn very soon, dear lord. Something like that. But anyway, we'll start off with, in my opinion, the best company this year, which has probably been TNA. Okay, it started off a bit rocky, but the TV programs over the last few months, and certainly the pay-per-views, have been pretty, you know, I wouldn't say pretty decent. I'd say they've been very good.
No, yeah, they've had, I don't know if I'd say best company, I'd say, I don't know if I'd even say most improved, but yeah, there has been a definite, what's the word I'm trying to say? There's been a definite change in the programming that we have seen coming out of Total Nonstop Action / Impact Wrestling. It's been, and the pay-per-views have been, there's, I can't think of a bad TNA pay-per-view this year. Maybe early in the year, but even then, and like last year, it was almost like you couldn't name a good TNA pay-per-view out the bunch. Well, unless you weren't Trey Dogg or whoever else.
No
offense to their TNA. No offense to their liking of TNA, but the consensus was that they're pretty shitty.
There probably was one good one last year, which we
can't. Destination X would be.
Yeah, that was it.
Kind of the stock one to say.
But yeah, match-wise, it's hard to tell because you've had some great pay-per-view matches, some great TV matches as well, especially because of the one concept that I think they've got working well this year as well compared to last year is Bound for Glory series.
Yeah, that seems a... Well, yeah, it was their first year for it, and it did seem a bit jumbled, but this year it doesn't... There's still, like, some people kind of missing out of it, but everybody in slow time is starting to get time with it. Maybe not so much Pope or Robbie E or others, but Magnus is starting to like get something out of this. You have guys like Samoa Joe, who was at the way bottom, was a joke last year in the tournament, who's now, I believe, at the top at this point, either him or Storm or I think Joe's number one right now. Might be wrong on that, but nonetheless, it's a bit more fleshed out this year, if anything, and the X Division is, well, it's the same as last year. They might not be remembered as much coming later on in the year as it was there, but the elevation of Austin Aries has been probably one of the biggest things to come out of TNA this year.
Yeah, certainly. Star, I would you say Aries is probably their star over here so far?
Yeah, easily. I think Rude never really had a dull point really in his reign, because a lot of people were still waiting for if he was going to fight with Storm, since that's what Bound for Glory seemed to be. But yeah, Aries just, especially once he started the feud with Bully Ray, it was a bit of a slow burn because they were starting the whole main event push and then the whole Bully Ray thing happened. That it seemed at first they weren't going to do something with it, then he ended up beating Ray cleanly. Hell, he made him tap out. Then the Joe match, and then it built on to the Rude match where he is now your current TNA World Heavyweight Champion, all within a year's time, almost reminiscent of his run to the top in ROH back in 2004, which although that was aided by other things, but nonetheless, he made the best of his opportunities and became the world champion.
So pretty decent half year so far for TNA. WWE, it's kind of done the opposite.
Yeah. Well, WWE does always tend to be kind of slow around this time, as my friend Travis, who I've been seeing in the chat a lot more now, as he so eloquently put it to me a couple years ago, the summer slump, which is the time from WrestleMania to about SummerSlam, the programming's not. Well,
arguably this year, it didn't peak at Mania. It peaked at Extreme Rules.
Yeah, kind of
so
did.
That has been, to me, WWE's best pay-per-view so far.
Yeah, because even Money in the Bank, which usually tends to, or at least the past couple years, have been like really excellent.
Last year it was awesome because of the CM Punk situation, and the year before, I couldn't even remember what the main event was.
The Cena-Sheamus cage match.
See, I don't even remember that.
matches, even though it was, yeah, that wasn't really that memorable. Yeah, still really isn't when you think about it now, because it was just, because it was all really kind of just leading into the 7-on-7 match.
It's kind of a hard trend to follow after last year's show.
Yeah.
It's kind of like having to follow WrestleMania 27 with NXT. Well, not NXT. I was going to say old school NXT, like NXT Redemption. Yeah, it'd be that kind of. I guess the best comparison would be Superstars. Straight after WrestleMania, Superstars. Rather than Raw, it's complete. You can't really make the comparison at all, but.
It's almost like a Freaky Friday situation with WWE TNA, how like the storylines are very kind of disjointed in WWE as they were in TNA, even though TNA still has, well, one glaring storyline flaw in the AJ Daniels.
Yeah.
Kazarian thing, which.
Crackle.
Yeah. As I say, Ricochet 2.
Yeah.
Ricochet Paperclip. 2.
Paperclip.
But yeah, that's WWE. The Punk heel turn, it probably is a heel turn, but the Punk change in demeanor.
The Punk is Harvey Dent. Which way is he going?
Yeah. Yeah, that might start to gain people's interest again, especially since there's been talk about Punk being stale, and then the Jericho feud didn't really kind of went where the matches were great, just kind of went. It started off well, then went a whole different direction. Just about anything Cena's done hasn't really been met with positive acclaim. Mm-hmm. Although the matches haven't been too bad, it's just.
Yeah,
I don't know. The feuds have been kind of lacking.
I'm trying to think star-wise for matches. I'm just thinking that. Well, not matches. Sorry, star of the year so far for WWE. You'd have to say a contender would be Ziggler.
Ziggler's one. Bryan, I'd say, is one. Although he didn't start. He hasn't been as. He's been in a pretty strong position, even though it's not as it was earlier.
Sheamus is really, because it looked like Sheamus was going nowhere about 14 months ago, and
Sheamus has been having a quiet kind of year at the top.
Yeah,
because he's still been. Go ahead.
Well, we could say Lesnar and Rock, but they haven't been around enough.
I'd say Daniel Bryan. I think he's just been overall has been really a top year for him. Punk, he's still been keeping on, but there's still been he's kind of been a lot of people haven't. They were accepting of him until it just became. I don't know if it's just that it was him. It just wasn't Punk being Punk, or everybody else was doing what Punk was doing. Or just did it. Punk didn't feel as special as he did when the whole Summer of Punk 2 happened, I think is the best way to put it. And now you can kind of feel it more with this one now.
Yeah.
Where he was always still kind of the smartest, but it was really like he was just kind of hanging back, kind of chill out, and then him being more of a spotlight, probably.
Yeah. Special recognition should go to Chris Jericho, because anybody that kicks a Brazilian flag and makes a
perfect
is awesome. Yeah, we're going to keep that as possibly a running joke for as long as we want to before we... Yeah, that's enough of that one. Now, next we'll turn to some of the indie stuff and probably start off with... We'll start off with Shikara, because... They've had a pretty decent year as well. They've had pretty damn good shows. There's always been one or two standout matches on nearly every card that they've had.
Yeah. Chikara's been doing pretty good. They've been going pretty strong. Like, it's been a solid year for them. there's nothing really, I wouldn't say too exceptional, because they've always really been, especially for the past couple of years, kind of really at the top of their game in a way. So it's just really kind of been solid. The Gekido storyline has been pretty good, even though it's a mix of, we've kind of seen this before, and then the Aces and Eights thing, which, well, Eddie Invasion storyline, but that's more TNA. The Gekido thing's been going kind of well. It's just been, it's been a year kind of time to try to focus things back, especially this year, first year that you have a grand champion in Eddie Kingston. So the tag titles are still, they're still kind of, it's been kind of going back and forth on some stuff. It's still been a pretty good year. They've been, repeating myself, solid year for Chikara, I'd say, pretty much.
And star-wise and match-wise?
Star-wise, I would almost want to say Eddie Kingston just by proxy. But let me see, going through the year, because this, yeah, nobody's really broken out to me this year too much. Jigsaw's been having some, I'd say maybe Jigsaw. Jigsaw's been really having some good stuff. Kingston, Del Rey Batiri has been kind of, I'd say, remember, not Dash. Yeah, I'll go with Eddie Kingston just by proxy. Like, everybody, nobody's really, to me, has broken out too much. Jigsaw's really been solid, but he hasn't, other than really the Kingston stuff, he's been kind of, he hasn't really been too, he's more into the Gekido feud and then the TNA stuff. Quackenbush was out for some of it with his injury. Yeah, Eddie Kingston, easily. I almost want to say Del Rey, but the Batiri feud kind of hasn't been all that it's up to be or should be.
Yeah.
Delirious is still a mystery with that. So there's still good stuff to watch from Chikara, although not as like the BDK storyline was a really good one to me. It isn't popping out to me as much as the other shows would from a couple years ago, but I still want to watch him because it's Chikara. So
yeah,
that's my thoughts on this year.
Now, something else which is probably going to be more your contribution to it is PWG, which from what I have seen, they've had a pretty decent card as well, because obviously with PWG, quite a lot of it is Ring of Honor talent, isn't it?
To an extent, there's the West Coast talent. It's pretty much the best. It's the best you can get from everywhere, with the exception of really WWE. And I know some people say TNA, on some occasions they have TNA stars, even though they really haven't as much now. But it's pretty much everywhere you can go, because PWG has no iPay-per-view, so there's no blocking of that. That's why you see the Ring of Honor stars. You have Kevin Steen, Davey Richards, Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, Eddie Edwards, El Generico not anymore, but El Generico being a top star there, Joey Ryan, who's mostly in the West Coast. You have TJ Perkins, who's ROH, West Coast stuff, too. Young Bucks, who's there, Chikara, and Ring of Honor, and many others as well. B-Boy, who's, I think, mostly West Coast now. He's done some ZZW, even though I don't think he'll be coming back there anytime soon. Drake Younger and Sammy Callahan from ZZW. Michael Elgin from ROH. Willie Max, the West Coast guys. Ricochet from Dragon Gate. He's actually in Dragon Gate also, and DGUSA Evolved. So just a whole mix of, like, the best talent in the indies right now.
Yeah.
Now, and their shows have been really good, which it's almost the same, I'd say, with Chikara, in that it's just been really solid. But there's just something about this year compared to last year that I'm really liking a little bit more, even though the shows seem a bit sparse. But they kind of are with PWG, who really do monthly shows.
That's probably a fair look on it now. I've stuck this one in the middle of the indie stuff because this is arguably the one that's been the most unstable indie show of the year, and no, it isn't Extreme. Mm-hmm. Arguably, Ring of Honor has been the most unstable.
Yeah, I'd agree. They've been having ups and downs for, I would say, as bad as 04, really, in terms of, well, of course not.
Well, I'd say the down has really started since late last year when you had the Kings of Wrestling taken away with Cesaro. Yeah. And then despite his one-off appearance at Final Battle, Cassius Ohno, a.k.a.
Well, he had the homecoming match, but he was well on the way out.
I mean, there's quite a lot of talent that's moved on, quite a lot of talent that doesn't seem to be as good as they once were, because I don't know what happened to World Greatest Tag Team, but they've really just...
To be honest, they really haven't been that stellar in Ring of Honor. Other than really the Kings of Wrestling matches and some Briscoe stuff, it's been... Future Shock had a couple decent matches, but yeah, it's kind of a mixed bag with the World's Greatest Tag Team. Kevin Steen has been the main, I wouldn't say the lone high point, but he's been the constant high point for them. That's been the one thing they've been able to really, that hasn't turned to shit for him.
Yeah. No, that's the good track.
He's been the one constant.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. Arguably, I guess the Unity show is probably their... It's not pay-per-view, but it's their best event that they've put on.
I would say Unity. Unity was good, but I don't think it... I'd say probably Showdown in the Sun, Night 2.
Showdown in the Sun, Night 2 with the 5-star match. Which probably
that
will
one almost
be
by
there.
Proxy gets,
for that. That will be a match of the year contender, I can tell you, in a few months.
And that's been, I think that's part of the lows too, is that for some reason they're kind of slow in creating stars, even though they have the opportunity to create stars from what they do have here. Because there's been, I'd say at least you have Adam Cole, who they're actually seeing that he's breakout, because he already had the 10th anniversary win to begin with. Then that he was kind of still in the same spot. Then he had the match with O'Reilly. Is it Border Wars or Border Wars? I'm trying to not Border Wars. Best in the World, because that's when it
best in
on.
The world hostage crisis.
Yeah, hostage crisis. That one's probably up there for a show of the year too. You've had Michael Elgin, who's still kind of in the same position he was. Tommaso Ciampa's really been breaking out. Mike Bennett, he's still somewhere there, but Mike Mondo seems to be a guy that they've gotten high on now. It's weird
Certainly Bennett's had the Maria effect.
Yeah. With Bennett, it's weird because it's almost like I know they want to do, ROH wants to do something with him, or he's going to be the star, but there's just something not clicking, or it's not going right away, or it's weird how ROH can work sometimes.
Yeah, that's true, and obviously pay-per-view wise as well, you've also got to take into the fact that the issues they've had with pay-per-view over the recent months hasn't been brilliant for them.
Yeah. Luckily it's been resolved, at least for the time being. Nothing too bad. They have Boiling Point coming up, so they can only go up from here. But it's just been for as many highs as they get, it's like one step forward, three steps back, right?
Yeah.
Two steps maybe, and then Kenny King being another issue that they've had as well.
Yeah, your intro sounder.
Oh, yes.
I plead the fifth. Yeah. That says it all, because if you... we featured it on the last show, the clip, but That kind of tells you at least some of the backstage feeling to what is going on with that stuff with Sinclair, which...
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Richards, we were talking about earlier how he might not even be with the company now.
Certainly aspects, though, of it seem to be that is Sinclair trying to be similar to what
happened
with ECW? Well, HDNet as well, but also the ECW situation, because I don't know. I don't know how well publicized they actually have it on the Sinclair. You know, the people that actually can get the Sinclair broadcast. Is it Sinclair Broadcasting Company or whatever?
Yeah, Sinclair. I think Sinclair Broadcasting Group, but yeah.
Yeah, but the people that get Sinclair, I don't know how widely advertised it is like it would be for... I was going to say TNA, but they don't do that much advertising either, but...
I think it's more... I don't think it's as bad as it claims to be, but it's not considering the problems they've had. It's just another issue that ROH is having.
Yeah.
It almost seems like, because it's not too bad, because like you'll see Joe Koff at the Sinclair head. He'll be at the shows or whatever. So it's not like they're not. I don't think it's as bad as it is, but it's not necessarily the greatest thing either. It's just kind of what happens when you have wrestling on TV and you're not, and you don't have Vince McMahon or even Dixie Carter money or a network backing you. It's just,
that's true.
You kind of, to be honest, you have to have the, and that's probably an issue that can be talked about on a later thing, how, like, if you don't have the network on your side, you're pretty much fucked.
Yeah, we could probably, that could be a discussion point for a future show or segment, certainly. Now, let's move to, we're putting these two together, because arguably they are the same company, aren't they? Dragon Gate USA.
Pretty much now.
And Evolve.
Yeah. Gabe Land, as I like to call it.
Gabe Land.
Come to Gabe Land here.
And we're not saying Gay Bland. It's Gabe.
Sapolsky Land, I don't know. Sapolskyville, there we go.
There we go.
Sapolskyville.
Is it like fucking Farmville? God damn it. But it's been a decent year for them as well, I'd say, certainly.
Yeah, I haven't really watched a lot of it because I'm starting to get a little more into Evolve. I've still yet to watch all of 14, which includes a lot of talent recently seen on TNA and also former WWE talent that happened to be in Florida. But they've always... Even though I'm not really a big fan of their shows as a whole, they always have good matches. They have the one thing that Gabe has that ROH kind of does it in a way is that he knows how to, and even he probably had troubles with this back at ROH, but he doesn't really have it now. He knows where to find talent, or there's always talent getting built as well as the talent that are still there. Like Johnny Gargano being a perfect example. He was in the first match in Dragon Gate USA history, one of the pre-show matches. And in just a couple years, he just built up and built up. The Ronin went well, and then now he's the head guy there.
Yeah.
And there's many others who probably have a shot at it, too. And it's been good all around. I haven't really seen a lot of DGUSA too much. But these recent shows, I do want to see Masada coming in is... something that interests me, and I know I'm just starting to get more into it than I would have in previous years.
Yeah.
Or at least a couple years ago, because they've only really been around for a little bit.
No, certainly. So probably need to catch more of them in order to give a full opinion, but final one, which we're going to talk about big in the third segment, or final one of the ones which we'll focus on in depth here anyway, is CZW, Combat Zone Wrestling, which obviously if you're not a fan of hardcore style wrestling, it isn't going to be your thing, but in general terms, I think they've had a pretty good year with the way things have gone.
I'd say most improved company out of any of them in TNA right now, I'd say are like neck and neck for like most improved company. Not that ZZW is really bad in 2011. It was all right. There was the tie points, but it was just kind of really just treading along, if anything. But the shows, like a lot of the shows I've seen have been really stellar shows. And then they've had a couple, the only, I'd say, weak point maybe is their mid card, or like the tag team division really isn't that strong. There's like things they need working about, but they have a lot of the tools there. Masada, Sammy Callahan, Drake Younger, Michael Elgin came in for a show, which we'll talk about. AR Fox in there, Adam Cole, who still does ZZW when he can. Mia Yim, who's been a pretty big story there. Greg Etzlin said the Chris Brothers feud has been pretty interesting, and the twist that happened at New Heights. Danny Havoc's been having some good stuff as usual. Gulak, it's been going along a lot better than it kind of did last year. Or at least the shows are more enjoyable watch. Not that they weren't last year, but some shows were just, there was nothing I can really recommend the others to watch. Or like, oh, like I watched it again. Who cares if I see this one? See it again or something like that. It makes me want to like keep the shows more than just like delete it after I finish watching.
None of their matches are probably going to feature in Match of the Year. Probably.
No. There's going to be at least one or two will. There's been the Sammy Callahan Drake Younger feud has been, that one was crazy. The Iron Man match, which we'll talk about later, has been good. The Mia Yim Greg Excellent TLC match was insanely good, considering it's a woman, half black, half Asian woman against a really large guy, about 300 pounds, probably a bit more than that, in tables, ladders, and chairs. It's just as brutal as it would be against two normal people.
Well, that sounds perfect.
Yeah, Masada's been, he's been having a good year. The only hardcore match maybe would be the barbed wire match from Proving Grounds was really good. Danny Havoc is he's one of the deathmatch wrestlers people might watch, because his matches are, there tends to be something about his matches more than it would on somebody else, than some other deathmatch wrestlers.
Yeah.
But so, there's something for everyone there.
Yeah. Now, we're not forgetting some of the other ones, but they're probably not major enough to probably feature in their own thing. But in terms of best of the rest, New Japan's had a pretty decent, well, a few surprises, I think, because we've had Masada, a.k.a. Samoa Joe's Kaito, be champion.
Okada.
Okada, that's it.
Kazuchika Okada, yeah.
Yeah. He was champion over there, which was surprising, because I think he's like one of the youngest champions, is he?
I believe he is. Yeah, he's not, he's still in his 20s. I know, I believe in his mid-20s. I don't know if he's the youngest they've had, but he ended the reign of Hiroshi Tanahashi, who I affectionately call sometimes Cenahashi, which I don't think I need to explain why there.
Yeah, I don't think there's any need for a, well, there would be a paperclip, but it's,
but let's just say this. Tanahashi has the belt back again.
Ah, you see, it's the if there is a paperclip, it's in the shape of a big Superman logo. And it's,
yeah,
it's going on a t-shirt that seems to change color every 6 months. Hint.
Even the Japanese fans booed Tanahashi last year at a show, him and Toriyano. That match is just,
do it's they like go, bizarre let's go, world. Tanahashi sucks.
No, they were just like booing him, and it's like, I really see, well, it's probably like, part of the fact that they don't give a shit about it. But I don't really see the Japanese fans boo people, even say the heels, but yeah, they were booing Tanahashi. There's a good amount. I was like, oh shit. this is that's where Cena Hashi probably started.
Yeah, that's where it comes from. And
he's still a good wrestler, as much as I think with Cena. Well, but it's more just probably the booking in New Japan.
Yeah,
it hasn't been the best.
Have you seen enough Noah to really comment on them this year? Or
No, the one Japanese one I do tend to follow most. All right. Sorry about that. We'll start over again. Just somebody came in. All right. Yeah. With Noah. Okay. 3, 2. Yeah, with Noah, the only Japanese company I really watch is New Japan. I really don't see any All Japan at all, even though I would like to and probably will now that I say this. Noah, I'll see every once in a while, mostly for certain people, but I will watch some of their sometimes, and that's really it. Dragon Gate, I don't really see that much. I really want to get more into some Japanese wrestling. I focus more on the indie side here than American stuff here.
Yeah.
Mexico that I see. So it's just like, yeah, it's adding on to it, which I could probably do, just don't find the time as always. But I'd say outside of other indies, or at least ones I'd want to follow more, I put invest the rest. NWA Hollywood is one that I'll see every once in a while. They have some of the talent can be really shitty sometimes, but they have some pretty good guys there. Scorpio Sky, note might be one. Willie Mack, Joey Ryan does stuff there. Johnny Yuma, you know, a lot of people probably don't think much of him from what they've seen in Impact. Another one, AIW, Absolute Intense Wrestling, out in the Midwest area. That's where Zima Ion came out at Crimson. Gunner was at NWA. ACW, Anarchy Championship Wrestling, back here in my state of Texas, with ACH, Masada does stuff there, Jerry Lynn, Rachel Summerlin, Bleed Bia Yim, Athena, there's a lot of people. Shimmer, because they have their shows take a while to come out, so when we do talk about Shimmer, you'll hear that. WSU, they're under new management now by Beyond Wrestling, there's some guys to check out. I think that's pretty much it.
Well, one I think also is worth mentioning is AAA.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Mexico, too. I did mention that. I do. I don't really see. I used to watch AAA a lot because that's the one they would show on Galavision when I'd see it on Saturdays. But now they show CMLL. So when I do see it, I'll see that. And then every once in a while, I'll catch up with AAA, who has the ongoing TNA.
I'm still amazed that they've got Jarrett still as champ.
Nope, he's not. He hasn't been champ for a while now.
Oh, he
actually lost the belt. Yeah, he lost the belt already. He's still there, but yeah, he already lost the belt. I believe Abyss has a title there still.
I know certainly that coming up, we've got the Triple Mania show. They've got La Parka and Electroshock versus, and this might be confusing for TNA fans, so you might need to sit down for this, Jeff Jarrett and Kurt Angle as a tag team with Karen there.
Wait. Let me see. I haven't seen the Triple Mania card yet. I've kind of remembered look up something for AAA right around the big shows, and they have one coming up on the 5th. Yeah, that's something you normally wouldn't see.
Yeah, that's like what?
Oh, wait, what? The Hart Foundation 2.0, Evans and Hart tag teaming again? What? Okay, yeah, I'm gonna watch some AAA now. Some AAA. I gotta see some Noah now. Now that I think of it, Samoa Joe and Magnus. I gotta see that title change go down. Yeah, I got some wrestling to watch, and I've been watching some movies these past couple days.
Need to catch up on. Bring up the where is it? Triple Mania 20, or if I go to just Triple Mania, thanks to Wikipedia. Yeah, we're giving Wikipedia a shout out on the show. I'm just having a quick look with,
because it's not like we know Spanish. No.
Yeah, it's full. Just having a quick look. We've got 8-person tag team match. None of those names I recognize off the Yeah. Just trying to look.
I'll just say him
real quick. Oh, you got La Parker, anyway.
Oh, yeah, for the eight-man tag. Yeah, I can say the names if you can't say them.
And Lost Psycho Circus. Please tell me they have nothing to do with Insane Clown Posse.
No. Instead, they wear clown mask. They don't have a song called Chris Benoit, though.
Oh, God. No.
There's actually some ICP stuff I'll like. I'll admit it. I really don't care. I know what some people's opinions of them, but yeah, I could care less for that song.
See, I'm just having a look.
We got. You want me to just run down the card?
Hang on.
All right.
Tag team hair versus hair.
Yes.
Oh, I see.
The Roldans, yeah. Because the storyline in AAA, of course, with the TNA thing is the whole big Rudos, the heels there are Joaquin Roldan's son, Dorian Roldan. He's the one aligned with Jeff Jarrett and Angle and Conan and a lot of them that are there. And there's like so many people trying to invade AAA. It isn't even funny. You had, it looked like Los Perros del Mal were going to, but they sided with Dorian Roldan. You had El Consejo, who I don't think is aligned with either of them, and those are former guys from CMLL, which stands for Consejo Mundial de Lucha Libre, hence El Consejo. Those are the really ones invading, and it's just kind of jumbled up, the feuds sometimes with me with AAA, whereas CMLL is really simplified. There's not really a lot of like CMLL is the TNA in a way, as is to AAA WWE.
Yeah,
Center ROH.
So it's just because I was looking at the title and tag team hair versus hair, and I was just thinking, Angle doesn't have any hair. That isn't fair. I didn't read properly.
The Conan Mike Awesome hair versus hair match.
Yeah.
Which, although isn't that much of a, well, it's still kind of dumb, but it was actually for Billy Kidman's hair, that match.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, because I've just noticed that this is actually this coming Sunday. You might want to go through the card, and it probably will get put up, because I think it's probably on pay-per-view in Mexico, certainly.
Yes. Yeah, so it'll be up online.
It'll be somewhere online for me and Randy to see it and not work out what the Mexican commentators are saying.
Oh, they got a lucha. Well, I might know some of it.
Yeah, we got eight person tag with Dark Dragon, Mini Charlie Manson. That name disturbs me. Sexy Star and Yuriko versus Fabi Apache, Phoenix, Octagoncito, and Pimpinella Escalata.
Yeah. Yeah, you're actually getting pretty good on the names, yeah.
I am good with Spanish accents. It's not that I've been in any pornos yet. and then we've got
Relevos Australianos, the Australian rules, eight-man tag.
Aussie rules. Does it feature footballs? I don't know. But it's that El Consejo, which is Semental El Texano Junior, or whatever, and Junior. Toscano and Octagon. Versus La Parka and the Lost Psycho Circus, which is Monster Clown, Murder Clown, and Psycho Clown. Whatever happened to Happy Clown?
They're not happy looking clowns if you've ever seen Lost Psycho Circus.
They're kind of like the boogeymen of clowns.
Well, Monster, Murder, and Psycho, yeah, that's not necessarily cheerful names.
Yeah, we've already talked about the. I still can't work out that Jarrett and Angle are on the same team. Especially after what allegedly happened 2 years ago backstage.
And she's managing them too.
Yeah, well, it's kind of even more awkward.
Maybe they play it up in Mexico. It ain't like this.
Parejas Suicidas Steel Cage match, which is Chessman and Juventud Guerrera versus the Familia de Tijuana, which is Extreme Tiger and Halloween. Is Halloween Halloween Wicked, or is that somebody else.
Mick.
I was just thinking, I have not been initiated into this enough yet. Then Hart Foundation 2.0, which is Teddy Hart. Oh.
Yeah, he's been back to AAA for a minute.
Yeah, I remember that the video we saw of Teddy Hart before one of the shocking Ring of Honor moments. Yeah, and knowing Jack Evans and what he can do with Hart,
he even got back. Unless I think we might have, Jack Evans must have turned heel. I got to look.
Yeah, we're not gonna have 6:30. We're gonna have 12:60 because we're gonna have two 6:30s at the same time. And they're also taking on La Hermandad 187, which is Joe Lider and Psicosis. So, yeah. Decent stuff there. And then, arguably, the two biggest matches on the card, because apparently Kurt Angle isn't big enough. Especially because it's against Electroshock in LA Park. We've got the title on the line, the world title.
They aren't too bad, but yeah, there's two bigger cards. Matches.
El Messias with Cibernetico versus El Hijo de Perro Aguero
with the son of Perro Goyo Jr., who is the Rey de Reyes, which I think, yeah, he's cashing in his title shot that he won from winning Rey de Reyes.
And then the bit, by the looks of it, possibly main event, which I'm guessing it could be.
Yeah, well, probably. No,
the world title probably be main event, but depends how they want to book it. The Mask versus Max Lucha de Apistas, which is Dr. Wagner Jr. versus Mascara Anno 2000 Jr. with his dad at ringside accompanying him. And
Mascara Anno 2000.
Yeah. And Silver Kings with Dr. Wagner.
Who's his brother.
Yeah. So it's a family affair, that one.
Yeah.
So we'll probably give our... We can't really give you much about regards to the history of those, apart from what we just said with the Roldan situation and the fact that Jeff Jarrett's still there and helping him out. But there looks to be... I don't know if there'll be any matches added. It wouldn't be surprise me, but that's... Yeah, this Sunday in Mexico, and we'll try and give a report on that somehow. We might give results possibly next week and then give you more details on a future
week. Oh, actually, this will not be broadcast live on pay-per-view.
Ooh. What's going... Why?
I do not know. I need to look that up right now.
I don't know. They normally film it, though, don't they?
Yeah, they'll film it.
Oh, yeah, the first time in 4 years that Triple Mania won't be on pay-per-view.
Triple Mania not on pay-per-view or TV? Won't name the source here for... Well, I could, but oh well. AAA announced this past weekend that Triple Mania will not be on pay-per-view this year. Now rumors are going around that it won't air on TV either, not until the end of the year at least, in an attempt to drive higher ticket sales, making a much-watched live like CMLL did with the anniversary show last year. In better news, AAA finally confirmed that Kurt Angle has been officially added to Triple Mania. He will team Jeff Jarrett in the second hair versus hair match. Against LA Park and Electroshock.
And plus, apparently, we're going to have three inductions into the AAA Hall of Fame, which already has Mysterio Jr. and Eddie Guerrero in it.
And Antonio Pena.
Yeah, but certainly most people will know Guerrero and Mysterio. They might not know Pepe Casas or Octagon. But it's interesting that it's three people, so I don't know if it's a tag team or a family, the Parkers, possibly.
I don't think that. Well, oh yeah, there actually are Parkers, or some of them are different members, but it could be anybody.
Yeah, maybe we'll see.
I can see Alijo del Santo get again, if he isn't already. Or El Santo.
All of a sudden, I feel I need some tequila because we're going to take a quick break. Because when we come back, we're going to do some... Randy's going to do a review of the CZW shows, which will feature the New Heights one with the IMM match. And before that, because we want to be chronological and not have stuff that doesn't make any sense, ironically, since we talked about Mexico and tequila, It's Cinco de Mayo, or as it might be renamed on here, Sinking the Mayo.
We'll tell you why. There's a funny quirk with this show make you want to watch it.
Yeah. Yeah, Sinking the Mayo, no. So we'll give it its proper title, Cinco de Mayo. But yeah, we'll be back after these ads. We'll see you in a few minutes.
Thursday, the SNS Radio Network gets in the ring and starts running the ropes.
I caught SmackDown again. I caught Sheffield's gimmick, and I couldn't help but to think that his new gimmick sounds like an Arby's roast beef sandwich.
Join Brian Maverick Bertrand and Chris Kelly from HeadlocksAndLines.com as they talk about every random thing going on within the WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, and the NorCal independent scene. Running the Ropes also features interviews with stars from the past.
It's me. It's the D-O-double-G, the Road Dog, Jesse James.
Present.
What's going on? This is Kazarian.
And this is the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels.
And future.
Hey guys, it's Rima Fatih.
And so much more. So join the guys every week on Running the Ropes right here on the SNS Radio Network.
Hey, wrestling fans. Do you want a break from the day-to-day ins and outs of the WWE, TNA, and Ring of Honor? Do you like talk radio that pulls no punches? And do you like your sci-fi and fantasy? Well, tune in to the Elite Force Podcast each and every midweek with Chuck W. and each weekend with William Walkie Walker and Mindwipe. Exclusively on the SNS Radio Network and the Chris Jones Gaming Network. Yeah.
This is going to be fun.
What is up, my SNS peeps? You know who this is. At least I hope you know who this is. The Sensational Sequel, Sensational Sean. And if you don't know me, then you must not know The Open Book. The Open Book is my new podcast that I have here on the SNS Radio Network with my co-host, Ashley. Yeah, that's his name apparently. We still haven't figured that out. And on The Open Book, we cover wrestling and we do a little fantasy booking. We also cover some video game news. We also do entertainment news. We cover some reviews every now and then on that too. And you know, we have some pretty cool things we talk about. So you should check us out right here on the SNS Radio Network. Do you know, you can catch us every week. So check us out sometime. I'll possibly catch you right in the book itself. Peace, love, hatred. I'm out.
boss is a cat named Joe. He wears a red bandana, plays a blues piano
in a honky-tonk down in Mexico.
He wears a purple sash and a black mustache
in a honky-tonk down in Mexico.
Well, the first time that I saw him.
And welcome to the final part of the whole indie show with Randy and myself, Ashley. Perhaps that's what I should call myself now. Myself, Ashley. No. I don't know. There'll be a better name than Ashley is my name, but I'm sticking by that because it's pretty much my Twitter name. Yeah, we'll plug the Twitters later on, but we'll jump in quickly.
Definitely.
Yeah, we'll jump in quickly to the Randy's Reviews, I guess we can call it for this week, because CZW is... You try and catch as much of the CZW as you can, I think, can't you?
Yeah, for the most part, other than Proving Grounds, I've seen every show they've done this year.
Okay, so as you kind of told by that little music bed that we have for the intro, we're going to start, as I said before, the break, so that just enforced it. We'll start off with the Cinco de Mayo event that happened a few months ago on May the 5th in Indiana. And we'll start off with the first match where Isaiah defeated Kyle Maverick.
I was trying to remember, did I see this match? And one thing that's kind of weird with CZW, yet again, as I mentioned before, this is an Indiana show. This was essentially their new home now since the ECW/CZW/New Alhambra/Asylum Arena is no longer holding wrestling events. CZW's newest home is now really the Flyers Skate Zone in Voorhees, New Jersey, but as a somewhat secondary home, or at least they've been doing non-New Jersey shows here, has been Bloomington, Indiana, and I think IPW runs shows there, which is how they have the relation with that. And Isaiah got the win here. Isaiah has shown up on some CZW stuff before. It escapes my mind right now at this moment. Vote the word and this match, so we'll leave it at that.
Okay. Next, we had Alex Colon defeat AR Fox.
Yeah, I remember this being a good match. Alex Colon is one of those that he's going to be something in a couple days. I think he was heel in this match. I'm not sure because this was just around the time when he would have made the turn, or I think just after they made. Did they make it out? No, they made it at Proving Grounds. This was just before he would turn heel. And a pretty good match here with AR Fox, whose stock is rising each and every day in ZZW, and I feel could be a future world champion, or was he, as you'll find out in our next show.
Next, a match between Jake Crist and Adam Cole, which actually went to a no contest. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, DJ Hyde ended up laying out both men interfering in the match because, well, him and Jake Crist are they at? It's kind of confusing that I'm doing both these shows. You'll see why in a minute, especially with how I stumbled there. Jake Crist and DJ Hyde weren't really, they were enemies at the time, and then Adam Cole just became a recent enemy of DJ Hyde, so Hyde laying both of them out here. And this would lead into BJ Whitmer coming in to make the save and would lead into the eventual match between BJ Whitmer and DJ Hyde, where DJ Hyde would get the win in rather short fashion with the lariat.
Yeah, it was interesting time events. The four-way tag team extravaganza, which featured the Northern Fight Club, AW2, which is Troy Markham and Jeff Mayhem, Alpha Breed, Remy Watkins, and Trevor Court, And the eventual winners, DNA, Aaron Extreme, or Aaron Extreme and Doug Charles.
This was a showcase. Yeah, I know for sure this was a showcase match for a lot of the talent in Indiana, and a couple of these names might be familiar because I have reviewed a few of their matches. I know Remy Wilkins for sure. I've seen him in a couple stuff before, and was Aaron Extreme, I think, had a match with Alex Colon at Super Saturday. I have to look that up right now. But DNA gets the win here. Seem to remember this being a decent showcase, but it's one of those that kind of escapes me now, as well as some of these kind of nondescript CZW shows sadly do sometimes. Which, not that this wasn't a bad show, but this was just your, I wouldn't say a live event, but just a regular run-of-the-mill show for him, not like a big show.
Yeah, just a relative standard show.
Yeah.
So next up we had Ron Mathis get beaten by Danny Havoc in a barbed wire board match. Yay, Extreme!
Yes. Other than your co-main event, this would be one of two really ultra-violent... the co-main event would count in this. One of two really matches that had any hardcore ultra-violent involvement, mainly any weapons in it. And this was, I believe, the debut of Ron Mathis at ZZW, and a pretty good debut for him, too, and a good debut for any deathmatch wrestlers going up against Danny Havoc, who's, even if, like I was saying earlier, if you're not a deathmatch guy, you might actually like his matches, because, his deathmatches are pretty enjoyable for the most part. Regardless of the fact he has some wrestling ability to him, too, so... That helps, but this was pretty much to get Mathis over a little bit and just keep having moving forward onto Proving Grounds, which was the week after this, which it has already been reviewed, so you know what Havoc was leading to with that barbed wire boards match, because that would be the show where he had the no rope barbed wire match against Gulak.
Right. Okay. Now the Wired TV Championship was on the line.
Yes.
But Devin Moore won by DQ.
Yes,
Chris decided to take a Ric Flair.
Yeah, Dave Chris low-blowing Devin Moore, and something, I don't know if he really refers to it as much that, but I remember him referring it to one time as the cunt punt, which, yes, is a low blow, even though... I don't think I need to explain that.
Yeah, I don't think there's any need for a paperclip.
Regardless of what I just said, there's kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
I just like how I could just say it so easily, such a word that's very detrimental and almost has no positive meaning at all when used. But nonetheless, we'll go into our main events here, and the match that, if you do ever get this DVD or find it somewhere, you can get the digital downloads, which are, I think, a couple bucks cheaper, and then you can have it on your computer so you won't have to wait for time. You just get it there. You have Drake Younger beating Sammy Callahan in a 2 out of 3 falls match for the CZW World Junior Heavyweight title, which... They said it lasts about 45 minutes. I remember when I watched it, it felt about 30. Or it might have been 45. I didn't count 45. But nonetheless, this is a really good match here.
Yeah. And there was a last match, I think.
Yes.
Asada with the World Heavyweight title on the line against Michael Elgin.
Yeah, Michael Elgin making... not actually his ZZW debut reappearance there. I think he had wrestled last for them about 2 years ago. It was about 2 or 3 years ago he had. And Masada getting the win with... I always mix up the names. The Regalplex. So I think he calls it... Yeah, the Skullfucker Bus is what he calls it, but it's pretty much Regalplex, how he won that. And one thing that I did kind of want to point out as a side note for anybody that does end up watching the show... Noticing how almost every match And I want to say, with the exception of, I think, one or two matches, but every match you see somebody get thrown into the chairs that they had, because there's no barricade there to or anything, so they would Irish whip them into the chairs, and this happened, and like I said, almost every match. I remember I kept counting, and I think it was like the last 1, 2, 3, 4, like the last 5 or 6 matches, I swear, had that.
Yeah.
It's a little fun game to play. Hell, it could be that's a good drinking game for that. If you ever want to drink to ZCW shows, maybe I should look for like the little things to that. This is going to be the drinking game DVD for you to get. But yeah, that's the drinking game. How many people get tossed in there, and you'll get, you should get fucked up. So
there's going to be a lot of drunk people.
And it's called Cinco de Mayo. And of course, nobody really knows the real meaning to it, even though I do. But I'd like to say I did it just for the comedic value of it. So we'll move on.
Yeah. Move on to the show that followed up. That was a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it? July 14th, the New Heights show, which the big match was the Iron Man match. But we'll start with all the shows, and there was a special actual pre pay per view match, apparently.
Yes, there was.
It was a showcase between Core, who was returning, and Shane Strickland.
Core, I had not seen up until then, and then Shane Strickland, I had seen before. He's somebody, I think he'll be somebody in a couple days. He reminds me, he reminds me of a lot of the kind of high flyers coming in, especially ones that are, not to really get racial into this, but there's been kind of a wave of black high flyers coming in, or a lot of black wrestlers really kind of starting to put their mark in the AR Fox being one, ACH, UHA Nation, who's out with injury right now at this time, Rich Swann in Dragon Gate, Ricochet's black too. But a lot of them kind of, it's not necessarily that they have a certain personality, but a lot of the high flyers tend to be, they're very jumpy, they're very charismatic, which is something nice to see, although somewhat stereotyped, but nonetheless, it's getting your name in the foot and actually having something to do that just moves. So he has a little charisma to him, and I could see him as he's like the next one of those I kind of see in him. He has the skills for it, so the sky's the limit for him.
Certainly. Next up, actually, on the pay-per-view, Alex Colon versus Devon Moore, which Alex won.
Yes, this is Alex Colon, who's now heel at this time, with the stable known as Four Loko, which is all the, I believe that's all of them. They have all the Latino representatives in there, at least in the stable. Alex Colon, Chrissy Rivera, his manager, who, as a little paperclip side note, is married to Sammy Callahan, and joining them are the tag team champions Azrael and Bandito Jr. Alex Colon getting the victory here. I believe it was a top rope Falcon Arrow he used after Chris Rivera held Devin Moore's foot. Then Colon hit his move from the top and got the victory there. And Alex Colon is, I liked him as a face, but I really kind of like him more as a heel. I think he seems more comfortable that way. That's when I first saw him, too. He just seems to have a little something else to him when he's heel. So, and he's a guy I think he hasn't really gone, I don't want to say gone anywhere, but he's like mid-card kind of in a way. But he's one of those that's, he'll be on the rise soon enough in ZZW.
Yeah. Next up, okay, this is a big one. It's not like a normal match. It's, well, I'm guessing this is a ladder match. It doesn't list.
No, I don't think it says anything. Just an 8-man for. I don't think there was a title on the line, but yeah, just an 8-man
for the shit of it.
8-man, yeah.
just for shits and giggles, which was Joe Gacy defeating Mia Yim, Ruckus, Dustin Reyes, Latin Dragon, Niles Young, Rory Mondo, and Drew Gulak.
to get everybody situated on if you don't know him or if you have watched CZW, know him. Joe Gacy, just to get where they are kind of storyline-wise, Joe Gacy, the eventual winner of this match, just broke up from his team, the Runaways, with, I was about to say Heath Slater, Ryan Slater. And they had a match at Tournament of Death, Fans Break the Weapons, with Gacy winning in that. Mia Yim, who's hasn't really shown up as much since that aerial assault match, but still kind of trying to prove her way now, and she's going to be like kind of a Sarah Del Rey or Saturine, well, any woman in Chikara, but kind of she's going to be like their Sarah Del Rey, I could see. Ruckus, who I mentioned earlier, he'll be in ROH pretty soon. He's been in ZZW forever. Used to be really big at one point, and then he slimmed down, which was amazing considering the same stuff he does now, which is very flippy, was doing when he was still had some weight on him. Dustin Reyes, just coming back from a leg injury. Latin Dragon, someone who shows up there. Niles Young, someone there. And Rory Mondo, who dresses up like Nick Mondo. And then Drew Gulak, the campaign, still has the campaign thing not so much in the forefront. And on a side note, Drew Gulak and Rory Mondo are brothers. This was a basic multi-man match, free-for-all. You had that. A lot of psychology going into it, especially when Gacy was really, really shown in this match. In victory, of course, but yeah, he really shone in this. Mia Yim did her job, and everybody else was just kind of there for there. Nothing really too big, but this was pretty much to get Joe Gacy, to move Joe Gacy up the map, who's been on the up and up since he did break away from the Runaways, and he gets the win with a nasty power bomb, or as they said in CZW, a vicious power bomb onto Mia Yim, but. I think it was a sit-down one, yeah, but Powerbomb gets the victory there.
Yeah. So then next up, we had Jake Crist and Greg Excellent defeat Dave Crist, the TV champion, and DJ Hyde.
Yes, due to events that happened at their previous show, Prelude to Violence, Ohio is for Killers, which was the show before, which would have been the show before the show. Okay, it was New Heights, then Tournament of Death came before that, and then before Tournament of Death was Prelude to Violence, which is where Dave Crist and DJ Hyde formed a bit of an alliance there and ended up getting Nevaeh, who's better known as the first ever Shimmer Tag Team Champions, along with Ashley Lane, who's better known by you as Madison Rain. And she's been in Shimmer, and she had been wrestling in ZZW anyway. She got Hyde and Dave got Nevaeh to turn on Jake Crist, who they happen to be married. So Jake Crist in this whole feud had his brother turn on him, Dave Crist. And then his best friend Dustin Reyes back at Super Saturday, which I'm surprised they haven't really brought that up. But then you'll know why they probably won't need to, and his wife. So Jake Crist has to be feeling pretty shitty right now at that point. And Greg Excellent would get the win here with, I think it was the Excellent Driver on Dave Crist, or I forgot for sure, but Matt Tremont at one point came in after DJ Hyde delivered a lariat to Jake Crist, and that Matt Tremont and DJ Hyde have been having a big feud. And the post-match would add on to that. Yeah. As Greg Excellent, who way back at Cage of Death, due to his victory over DJ Hyde, was granted 3 wishes. And that he could get at any time. The first Aladdin. Wish was to... Go ahead.
No, it's just getting inspiration from Aladdin in CZW. Yes, yeah. You heard that right.
DJ Hyde actually dressed up like a genie too, the show he got to run. Greg Excellent got... The first wish he used was he got to run the last arena show, Excellent Adventure, which was their first show of the year. And that's DJ Hyde ended up dressing up like a genie at that. And he had used the other 2 wishes, or at least another one up until now, when he used his next wish for Matt Tremont to finally get a match against DJ Hyde, who DJ Hyde has really been ducking Matt Tremont for a match, or at least making sure Matt Tremont couldn't face him. And they will be facing off at their next show, Tangled Web, in the proverbial Tangled Web match. So that will be your main event for their next side pay-per-view.
So Spider-Man will be involved with Bob White, methinks. Next up, the World Tag Team titles were on the line, and Azrael and Bandido Jr. defended those titles by beating Danny Havoc and Lucky 13.
Yes. Another interesting note is the two matches, Colon and Moore earlier had faced off, with that being Four Loko versus Nation of Intoxication, and this one also Four Loko versus Nation of Intoxication, with the other two wrestlers in Four Loko against Danny Havoc and Lucky 13, who represent Devin Moore, the Nation of Intoxication, with, haven't seen Scotty Vortex in a while, who's the other member, and, oh, well, he's probably getting high somewhere.
Yeah.
Nah, yeah, he's, if you, he has a, let's get a paperclip on that. Anyway, Azrael and Bandito Jr. get the win here after Chrissy Rivera cracks Lucky 13 with her purse, which had a brick in it, which leads to Azrael Bandito Jr. hitting their double team finisher, which is having Lucky 13 elevated on the top rope for a top rope DDT. And as before Bandito Jr. hits it, Azrael comes from the top, does a double stomp around his neck or so to like launch it into the DDT. So a double stomp aided elevated DDT,
which is pretty cool.
Technical terms, yeah.
Yeah, technical terms are key. Next up, we had the World Heavyweight title. Yeah, the World Heavyweight title isn't the main event. Where have I seen this before? WWE. Where AR Fox took on Masada.
Yeah, Masada, was this? Oh, yeah, Masada gave AR Fox, who had a title shot due to a title shot of any choosing due to becoming People's Choice of the Best. Remember that in just a little bit. But this time, Masada gave him, although AR Fox does have that title shot deal due to Best of the Best, this was not because of it. Masada just giving him the title shot because Masada can. And this was a really good match, and I'd say Masada's best defense yet. And AR Fox looking, this was a very interesting one to me, because Masada really, even though he's really known for the death match, he can wrestle. And he was, and even with that, he was like doing, he was being really unconventional. He was he was almost outfoxing AR Fox in a way with some of the stuff that he did. Like, just what, when you see it, you'll know what I mean there. And AR Fox still looked pretty good in it and almost had the victory. Went for the low main pain, and then Masada counters it into the skull fuck of Buster for the, I think, yeah, that's how he got the win. Yeah, he just, if you've ever seen the low main pain, he just got out, got up from the top, and as AR was still stuck on the ropes, he got him for that regal plex, aka skull fuck of Buster. And then I think that's what ended it. If not, Masada got the victory there. And Masada still your dominant CZW heavyweight champion. And he probably won't be losing that belt for a long time.
Well, we shall see. So, but it certainly looks like he's going to be keeping it for a while. So now we come to the main event.
Yes.
Which main event, by the looks of it, has to go in inverted commas. Because the Iron Man match happened, and it
Hold on. Let's go to the Iron Man match first before.
Yeah. The Iron Man match happened, was a very close affair. But yeah,
very close.
Sami Callihan managed to come out just on top to regain the title that he lost at the aforementioned Cinco de Mayo.
Mm-hmm. This is a very their best match. Yeah, a 1 hour Iron Man match, ultra violent rules. They were beating each other everywhere. And the weird thing with this, Drake Younger never led in the match. Sami Callihan ended up getting the win early after hitting a low blow, then a power bomb for about 13 minutes in, and then getting a second pin afterwards. And then Younger ended up fighting back, at tying at one point to, I think it was either 4-4 or 3-3. Oh no, it was 4-4. And then in the final minute, Sami Callihan had the stretch muffler in on Drake Younger, and Drake Younger had no else to tap with 1 second left on the clock. Literally tapped out at 1 second to lose the time.
If only he'd hold it down.
Yeah, like he was in there for a minute, then just right when the second hit, he tapped out. But yet again, Drake Younger not getting it done. Well, because tournament of death, he tapped out too to Masada in a weird kind of finish. But that would, as even with Sammy celebrating, his celebration would be short-lived because remember when I brought up AR Fox's best of the best or best of the best title shot that
Guess
he was
what?
Guaranteed? Yep. He used it on Sammy Callahan, the same man who defeated him to win best of the best. And in under a minute, AR Fox becomes your new CZW World Junior Heavyweight Champion by means of a 450 splash. But wait.
Yeah, which is pretty awesome. But then,
wait,
the main event, the main event had a third main event, which wasn't a match, but it was just an epically convoluted yet probably good promo.
Yeah, this was a crazy segment afterwards. Like after that, the lights go off, and then a masked assailant comes in. Which if you had seen the masked assailant earlier during Sammy Callahan's entrance, you would find out it's Dave Well, if you'd seen who it was, you would have known already. But if you remembered who it was Dave Chris throwing a fireball into AR Fox's face, and then Dave Chris and Callahan are beating up on AR Fox as Maven Bentley, he's a president promoter, but he person who helps run ZZW along with DJ Hyde coming in trying to get Fox out there. Then Jake Chris comes in with a steel chair ready to fend off his brother Sammy Callahan, except he used the steel chair on Maven Bentley, therefore turning heel and aligning with his brother, the same brother who caused them all this grief over this time, which they alluded or they actually foreshadowed the heel turn earlier in the pay-per-view. Where there's a promo with Jake Crist and Greg Excellent, where Greg Excellent, they show him in the locker room, and Greg Excellent has a towel on, that very funny towel where it shows what it would look like if he didn't have the towel on, drawn on top of the towel.
Wow,
how he looks like, but yeah, it had like a big dick on it. That was the main.
Not to scale.
Yeah, not that I know about that, nor do I want to get too much into it, dude.
Yeah,
I think, but yeah, that's pretty much what the drawing was. So
the towel wasn't 4 foot long.
Yeah, and then Jake Chris later got a phone call, and then he was like, "I love you, honey," or whatever, meaning that it was his wife. And if you remember what I just said, his wife turned heel, so. I guess he joined up with the family because everybody that he loved pretty much turned on him. So why not join them?
Sticks to go blood.
Meaning we now have a heel Irish Airborne in ZZW along with Sammy Callahan, who had been aligned at times before. They both, all three of them come from the same area in Ohio. And I believe they were stable at one point around in those parts too. Then this ends up leading to a huge brawl with pretty much the entire CZW locker room until
they declared anarchy.
Yeah, until Masada and Flip Flops comes in to save the day or whatever, or clear house. And then
beat the shit out of everybody and be the last one left.
Well, he's supposed to be like the fucking man there. So
and then
in your last moment for a Joker. Black Jesus' partner in Philly's Most Wanted comes in and seemingly challenges Masada to a title shot, which Masada will agree to because he really doesn't care. He just wants to defend that title. So that's a match that's probably going to happen at Tangled Web, so look out for that match in a week. Next week, yeah.
Yeah, August the 11th, apparently. Mm-hmm. Just have a quick look, see if we can have a look at the card. Just to see if there's any matches that seem to come from the New Heights card.
Other than just one of... Well, looking at the card now, yeah, two of them. At Tangle Web, it will be Masada defending the ZZW World Heavyweight title against Joker. Tangled Web match with DJ Hyde, Matt Tremont. AR Fox will defend his newly won World Junior Heavyweight title against Alex Colon. Drew Gulak has escaped the combat zone. Sammy Callahan's going to be in action. More apparently,
Cole's got another pre-show matchup.
Yeah. So you have that more, which you can see all online live on iPay-per-view on hybrident.tv, which it's only about $10-$15, which standard price for it. And one last bit of news that I found interesting: New Japan is now getting into the iPay-per-view business, offering one of their, I forgot which show it was off the bat, but they are offering a show for $25.
Oh, okay. So basically, everyone's going for iPay-per-view.
Yeah, that's pretty much going to be the new thing now. WWE already kind of has it with their WWE.com stream, so.
Yeah, which nobody apart from America can probably get. But yeah.
Yeah.
I asked about it for the UK because I wanted to see WrestleMania and what happens. It's not available in your area, so why would you not put that massively on your website that it isn't available in the person's area?
Thank
God I didn't pay.
Like, how you probably have it for the US is if I'm looking for British stuff and it's like, it can't be played here. Fuck!
Oh, don't get me started on that. I've plenty of people have been irritated by, you know, rights issues and whatever for stuff being screwed up and everything. But anyway, so yeah, that's
spawns people.
So an interesting look at CZW there, and as I said, upcoming we've got CZW show on the 11th. Is that the same day as the show that Ring of Honor are putting on?
Yeah, Boiling Point and Tangle.
Oh dear. Randy's watching two broadcasts at the same time next to each other.
I'm probably going to see Boiling Point since that's the one that might be more accessible to me at this point. If I wanted to, I could actually get Tangled Web now, but we'll see what happens on the 11th.
We'll see what happens. And then the 12th is TNA show, I think.
Hardcore Justice.
Then,
I just kept with that name.
Yeah.
It's like One Night Stand, how like it went
How many matches are scheduled for that so far?
None. On one?
One.
Okay, the Aries Rude.
That's it. They haven't even bothered to reveal what the hardcore matches are with the Bound for Glory series.
Daniels, AJ at 1,200,005. I'm just going to come up with some bullshit number. You know, they've had so many matches.
What? No. It's three Fatal 4-Ways.
Oh, yeah. The hardcore. The Bound for Glory series gets hardcore, I think, is part of the tag.
Yeah. And we're not talking Paul. Well, unless Crackhall gets desperate. I need evidence to pin it on AJ. Come on. I don't know, but yeah,
Instead of shooting him up with drugs, I'll just get him drunk and take the picture. That made it more like I'd already thought it was like the movie Ricochet, and then that just put it over the top for me. Like, like Christopher Daniels is fucking John Lithgow and AJ Styles is Denzel Washington.
There you go. So we've got quite a lot really to talk about, and looking at this, looking at the PWI blog, their PWI 500 was revealed on the 9th of August 2011, which possibly means we might be able to go through it next week. But we'll probably leave that for another week anyway, so we can actually look through and analyze it. So expect, if that is the case, expect that in a couple of weeks. That's probably a middle segment.
Yeah, we'll
definitely the whole show if we have to go through all 500, which I sincerely doubt.
Yeah, we probably won't even if we attempt it to.
Yeah, that's just way too much, but we'll certainly have a look through it. I don't think they've even revealed yet who the 2012 one is, because they always reveal that one early, I think, don't they?
Yeah, they usually, like, I'm surprised they haven't even revealed, like, any of the top 10, because isn't it usually that first and then the whole list?
I'm not sure off the top of my head. I'll just have a quick, I don't know if I should have a quick look. I'm looking at the PWI website, but while I'm doing this, I might as well remind you guys that you can get in touch with us with regards to emailing us with your thoughts on indie wrestling or general wrestling or whatever you, as long as it's something to do with wrestling, preferably indie, give us a chat about it. You know, Sandro, if you want to give your thoughts on the shows that you see from AAA or whatever, email it in and we'll put it on the next show, certainly. Anybody else that sees indie shows and they want, you know, you want them to get publicity or you want us to mention them, feel free. We will we'll get around to that every week. I look through the emails. Obviously, there's none this week because we haven't got any. So hopefully you can email in, or you know, it doesn't have to be indie. You can comment on something that you've seen generally, like people, everybody leaving everywhere, it seems. Vince McMahon will be leaving WWE probably in the next 4 months.
Shane McMahon will run China with his video service.
Yeah, Shane McMahon takes over China.
Hell, they got fucking Paramount.
Which way did he go over the Chinese wall?
Yeah. Hey, is that David Copperfield too? Oh shit, he went through.
Paperclip Extreme.
So that's where
the statue went. So I guess there is no actual, I'm looking at this and there is no news on who wrestler of the year is yet, which is interesting. I thought there might have been, but apparently not. But
it's either Punk or Brian. That's all. I'll tell you who I think's gonna be in the top five right now. I won't say the order because I don't think I'm that good at it. But if it does, then I might brag a little more. But just a slight more. I'm gonna say Punk, Brian, Rude. Shit. Cena, Storm.
I'm gonna say. I don't know. There's always one indie guy or Japanese guy.
Like
Takahashi or whatever that. I can't remember his name. He's been in the last couple of years in the top 10.
Tanahashi or Shinsuke Nakamura tends to be on the list. Takashi Sugura, he won't be on there. If they do put a Japanese guy, it's going to be either Tanahashi or Kata. If it's an indie guy, it's going to be Davey or Kevin. Probably Davey. Yeah, Davey, I can see in the top 10. Steen will probably be in the top 100, maybe top 50. We'll see.
Yeah, looking at that, the actual issue is being brought out September the 18th. Which probably means it won't be next week. It probably will be the week after. Anyway, that will probably come out. They'll delay it on purpose because they want to screw up our show. Brilliant. So, yeah, the email address is sns.twis@yahoo.com. That's sns.twis@yahoo.com. Feel free to email us there with your questions, your reviews, your rants on wrestling. I don't know. Anything and everything apart from spam. We don't want any spam. Unless it comes in a tin. Paperclip.
Or it's a lot. A lot of spam. Spam a lot.
Yeah. He took the joke in a completely different direction and the paperclip just got bent.
And now for something completely different.
Oh, wow, he's...
My limited knowledge of Monty Python here is getting put into use on me.
Dear Lord. That's and on that creepy note, we'd better get out of here. So that's all. Yeah. So song of the night, actually, we wanted to try and get something Olympic, but we realized that we're limited to what we can choose. So I managed to get the official soundtrack to the London Olympics that are happening now. Oh, as of the time of this recording, if you're listening in 2.5 weeks after this recording, then they aren't happening. But the London Olympics going down, and they've basically released the entire opening ceremony soundtrack, and one of the tracks is a remix of a track that I think sounds similar to one that I heard in Trainspotting, because it was a Danny Boyle production, the opening ceremony. So, Underworld's Dark and Long, open brackets, Dark Train, close brackets, is Song of the Night. So, Randy, any final words?
Nothing really too big. Just check out the other shows of the SNS Network. Sunday Night Showdown, of course, whenever there's a pay-per-view, Wrestling News Live. Tuesday nights, Beyond the Bell, when that gets put on archive. Our show, when that gets put on archive. I was just about to mention that, but they're sadly no longer around. Running the Ropes on archive, Unplugged, when they will make their return. And we do have the we have this from the Word of God here. JJ Sex saying Unplugged will be coming back new and improved. So look out for that. The Light Force podcast, that and the Weekend Edition. Check those out. Get all your sci-fi talk there. The Open Book with my fellow co-hosts Ashley here and Sean live Friday nights in the SNS chat. And another live show Thursday nights, TNA Talk Live, which this Thursday.
TNA Chat Live.
My fat
was a baddie in The Man with a Golden Gun, wasn't he? Oh, that was High Fat.
Yes, I said. TNA Chat Live. Check that out Thursday nights live in the SNS chat after Impact. This Thursday or in the archive, depending on when you're checking
out. Yeah, interview with Zema Ion.
Zema Ion, Bronx's least favorite wrestler.
You brought that up. He's going to email in now and go, I don't like it. You know, I don't hate him. I fucking detest him.
Yeah, you can check that out. And Bronx will be running the duties there on TNA Chat Live. That should be something interesting, especially if you've seen his solo work from Pro Wrestling Rewind. Also, check out the Twitters, which, of course, at Ashley is my name. And, of course, mine at RandyGelp91, R-A-N.
At Ash is my name, UK.
At Ash is my name, UK. They're from the Word of God there. And for my word of whatever I believe in, at RANMCELP91, that's Rand Mickelp 91, if that makes any sense. Nonetheless, we're here. This is the whole indie show. I'm Randy. He's Ashley. And I know I'm doing this all Freaky Friday way, so let me just cut it back to you.
Yeah. And all I'm going to say is that was your slice of indie for this week. And we're shouting, lager, lager, mega, mega, white thing. Night.
I love Alex Morgan.